The word today is firstborn. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. In the Bible, Jesus is called the firstborn over all creation. This is one of the ways in which the New Testament describes Jesus' deity. Here to share more about this special role for Jesus is Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Firstborn.
We learn from the Bible that Jesus is called the firstborn over all creation. This is another way of saying that Jesus occupies a very unique position, that he is the Son of God, and as such, we are supposed to put our faith in him. People are believing all kinds of incredible things nowadays, and as I try to teach them about Jesus Christ and putting their faith in him, I have some interesting conversations. And just a couple of weeks ago, I talked with an individual who opened up and shared with me his beliefs. One of the things, before he told me what he believed, that he asked me to do was not to laugh at him. And I thought that was an unusual request, but I said, I hear what people believe in all the time, and there are some amazing things people believe in. I won't laugh at this. And so he proceeded to tell me his three things that he felt must happen in order for the world to reach a new state. And the first was that Jesus had to return. The second was that mankind must evolve to a higher form of existence. And the third one, and maybe this is the one that he wanted to make sure I wouldn't laugh about, was that he believed aliens must visit the human race. All of these three influences come from such different directions and different sources, and it shows what's happening in our world today, that people are believing a hodgepodge. They're drawing spiritual and scientific ideas, and they're pulling them all together, and they're not consistently putting a worldview together. In this particular case, this individual got some of his ideas from Christianity. He got some of his ideas from classical Darwinism, and he got some of his ideas, he admitted, from Star Trek. Now, I remember when I was young and I listened to or watched Star Trek, I enjoyed it, but I never drew from it a spiritual worldview or a concept of what I would believe in. It's interesting, as we conversed, I shared with him some scientific information to counter some of these beliefs. I talked to him about what are called probability bounds. That means the odds or the chance that things can or can't happen. The bounds are the limitations. The probability are the chances. So that once the chances become too slim, it's pretty safe to say an event is never going to happen. And there was a scientist, I believe by the last name of Borel, who put together these odds, and he took all of the particles in the universe, estimated, of course, and all of the estimated time in the universe. Now, being an evolutionist, he gave that billions of years. And he multiplied these two fantastically large numbers. What he came up with was a number that was close to 1 times 10 to the 50th power. That is a phenomenally huge number. It'd be so large that you could spend several lifetimes drawing out zeros after a one and not come close to writing it. The bottom line was, given all of the chances in the universe with all the particles and all the time, given the widest conceivable possibility that something would happen, if something was less likely than that, if it was less than 1 times 10 to the negative 50th power, then it wasn't going to happen. And I shared with this individual the fact that evolutionists have readily admitted that the odds of chemicals getting together and lifelessness and accident putting together life and assembling creatures all the way on up the line to getting to humans is well beyond the bounds of probability. In other words, it didn't happen. And I also shared with him that we have the same situation for finding aliens in outer space. That because of all of the perfect conditions that we have here on life, because everything that has been put together so perfectly with our oxygen and the distance of the sun from the earth and how consistently it burns, and there's dozens and dozens of these variables. And because they are all put together perfectly, precisely, the odds of all of these things happening all at the same way, in the same time frame, at the same place, out in the universe, is inconceivable. So I shared with him, I've essentially knocked out your second and third beliefs. I've taken away from you, because of the probability bounds, evolution, and I've taken away aliens. So therefore, only Jesus is left. I kind of like that illustration because there are things that we can believe in that are so fantastic, so unusual, and yet they are not likely. They're not going to happen. And our faith is really misplaced if we put our beliefs in some of these things. On the other hand, we have Jesus, a historical figure, an individual who was seen by eyewitnesses. And the record of this is in your Bible. And it shows the story of a man who is way more than just a human. He's the Son of God. And the testimony to this is being given by the people who wrote the scriptures. And we as Christians need to get a really adult, solid grip on who Jesus is. And we have to leave behind some of these little Sunday school notions or ideas that we might still have in our minds that are because of sentiment and things like that. For instance, the idea that Jesus was born on a snowy night in a crib in the stars looking down, and this sentimentality in regards to the coming of Jesus. Or this Sunday school Jesus who's always nice and polite and never gets mad or upset, things like that. We have to leave this behind as we mature in the faith. The reality is that Jesus is something beyond all of our conception in the sense of his deity and his power. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of this from Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 15 of Colossians 1, he, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What a fantastic description of who Jesus is. And I have a feeling I'm going to run out of time in this broadcast because this is expanding and I'm giving it much wider treatment than I originally thought. And I have plenty to say on this. So I think I'm going to continue next week with this same theme. But let's work into it a little bit and then we'll pick it up next week. This idea that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. In fact, there's two times where the phrase or the word firstborn is used here. It's a very important word because it indicates the uniqueness of Jesus, that there's no others like him. The word in the Greek to indicate this, monogenes, this one and only that's mentioned in the Gospel of John, this only Son of God, is setting him apart, making him distinctively different than everyone else. And that's one of the reasons why we worship and praise Jesus, is because he is unlike all other humans, because he is divine. When it says he is the firstborn over all creation, this shows that there's this unique relationship between God the Father and his Son Jesus. In the Old Testament, the firstborn, of the sons inherited the lion's share of the property. He was the one to whom everything would be directed. As the father aged and became decrepit, it would be seen to fall to the firstborn son to assume the responsibilities, the tasks of directing the family. And the patriarchal blessing would be bestowed on that son, so that in a very physical way, by giving him a double portion of the inheritance in the Old Testament, and by the blessing of his father, he was then set up to be the head of the family. Now, you can start to see this in terms of Jesus as the firstborn over creation. He is the creator. He is the one who guides and oversees all things. And here in verse 16, it says, "By him all things were created." In John chapter 1, it gives us the same thought, that Jesus was right there having a hand in creation. With this in mind, we revere Jesus, we worship him as our God, someone who is way beyond us in power and authority and stature, and someone to whom all things someday will be directed, all praise and all worship, like it says in the scriptures, that at his return every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see Jesus as being a historical individual, someone whom we have the record of his coming. There are so many things that a person could put their faith in, but they are so easily disproven and discounted, as I did here with the poor science of Darwinism and with the science fiction of aliens and Star Trek. I'm asking you to put your faith in something solid, something substantial that we have historical records of, the person of Jesus Christ, in whom the Gospels testify to that he is the Son of God, as it says, the image of the invisible God, God in the flesh. If you put your hope and trust in him, he will take you to life eternal and give you the sustenance and deliverance from your sin and death for all of eternity.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.